I'd like to read now from Numbers chapter 32. Beginning in verse 10, the Word of God says, "And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me." What does God say in those two verses? The anger of the Lord was great because the children of Israel that God had brought out of Egyptian bondage, they had not wholly, completely followed the Lord. Verse 12 says, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. This passage of Scripture describes the occasion where God has brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They had been crying unto God. They had been begging God to deliver them and to help them. God heard their prayers. And when they came through the Red Sea, you remember that they sang the song of Moses that's recorded in Exodus chapter 15. They were praising God and giving glory to God. Not a few, but all the children of Israel, the men, women, and children, were all praising God and giving glory to God. They were all manifesting love and appreciation to God for what God had done for them. But it was only 3 days later that most of the people began to murmur and complain. Isn't it amazing how short-lived our thanksgiving is to God for His goodness to us in our lives? God had blessed them beyond measure, and to begin with, they did give God the praise, honor, and glory that was due His great and holy name, and then they began to murmur and complain. They went on to Mount Sinai, and you remember that when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, that when Moses came down, they had built a golden calf to be their God, is what the Scripture said. They had devised some other God to serve and to follow. It's amazing to me how fickle some of God's people are. How unstable we are sometimes. How unfaithful we are. Sometimes God's people are full of zeal and commitment and dedication and full of love for God. And then before long, some of them begin to turn back and go the other way. Now, the Word of God teaches here that it's a serious matter to not wholly or completely follow the Lord, because of all the children of Israel that came out of Egyptian bondage, none of them were able to go into the land of Canaan that had been promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. None of them were able to go into the land of Canaan, though they had been brought out of Egypt. God afterward destroyed them that believed not, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all of that generation had died, except two men. What were their names again? Caleb and Joshua. Those were the only two of all the people 20 years of age and older that were brought out of Egypt. Only Caleb and Joshua were allowed to go into the land of Canaan. Even Moses, now that's one of the most amazing things in the world to me, but even Moses was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan because he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock as God had told him. So we need to understand that the God who is the God of love and who is love, that our God is also a jealous God, and God requires His people to wholly or completely follow Him. Half-hearted service is just not acceptable to God. Lukewarmness. You remember that Jesus spoke to the church in Revelation chapter 3. The church at Laodicea was a lukewarm church. A lukewarm church is a church that is not full of zeal. That's a church that is not wholly or completely following God. And God says that they were going to be spewed out of His mouth. God was through with that church because of their lukewarmness. I just want us to think about and pray about it. And I pray that God will help me and all of us here individually, that we might examine ourselves to see how fickle we are toward God. The message that's on my mind and God has put on my heart during this past week is threefold. It's first to look at how fickle we are toward God. We're either faithful toward God or we're fickle. And the second thing is that sometimes we are fickle even toward the Word of God, and we don't show the Word of God. We're not thankful for the Word of God. And other times we are very faithful in our love for the Word of God. And then sometimes our fickleness and faithfulness can be seen not just toward God and not just toward the Word of God, but sometimes we see the fickleness of God's people toward each other. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to be looking at three different ways that God's people are either fickle or they're faithful. They're like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. Jesus makes the statement about some people that He was talking to. He says, "This people draweth nigh unto Me with their mouth and honoreth Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me." We need to pray, "God, help me to examine myself, because I know that we have been singing songs of praise, haven't we? We have been opening up our voices. We've been trying to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We've been trying to sing praises to God. But what we need to do is back up and say, now, God, was I even thinking about You when I was singing those songs?" We've all come to the house of God. We've come here to worship God. So we have at least turned aside from the ways of the world, and we've gotten to the house of God, and we've sung the songs, but if our heart was not in it, then it wasn't acceptable to God. Do you see the fickleness there? We can go through all the motions. We can even have our bodies where they ought to be, and yet if the heart is not in it, then it's not pleasing to God. That's the fickleness of God's people instead of the faithfulness. Caleb and Joshua were two men that in their heart and soul and mind and strength, they were completely loving God. That's the first and great commandment, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love God, not to be fickle toward God, not to draw nigh to God with our mouth and honor Him with our lips. We are to do that, but we are to also love Him with all of our heart. Fall in love with God, to be in love with God. We need to love God. I need to love my wife. I need to love my children. I need to love my grandchildren. I need to love all of you. But I need to love God even more than I love my wife. More than I love my children or grandchildren. We're supposed to be that committed and dedicated, 100% loving God, like Caleb and Joshua, the Scripture says here, that they wholly followed the Lord. Now, you're not going to wholly follow the Lord unless you're wholly loving the Lord. So you have to love the Lord, and then you follow the Lord. It's because of our love for God that we will follow the Lord in our lives. The children of Israel were fickle, and the result of their fickleness was that they perished in the wilderness. All of those that were 20 years and older that were given the law at Mount Sinai, they all died except for two men. And they died because they did not wholly follow the Lord. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 11. If I were to ask you what man was the wisest in the Bible, what was the man that asked God when he was told that he could ask God for anything? What was the man's name that when he was asked what he wanted, he did not ask for riches, he did not ask for gold or silver or power, but rather he asked for wisdom. Now, was that a good thing for him to ask for wisdom, what was that man's name? Solomon. The man's name was Solomon, a wise man. God gave him great wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon was beyond what any other man had ever had at that time. God gave Solomon great wisdom, and he proved a tremendous amount of wisdom early in his life. You remember when there were two women that were arguing about which child that was alive, to who that child belonged to. And you remember how what Solomon did. Now, I would have, today, what would we have done? Would have done a DNA test. They didn't have that back then. So if you had been Solomon, would you have known what to do with that one baby that both mothers are claiming it's theirs? Would you have known what to do? I don't think you would have, not unless God gave you wisdom. And that's what God had given to Solomon, was great wisdom. And so Solomon said, we'll just take this baby and cut it in half. And we'll give half to one mother and half to the other mother. The real mother spoke up and yelled and screamed and hollered, no, give her the child. And Solomon then knew that the baby belonged to the woman that objected to killing the baby. And he gave the baby to that mother. All through Solomon's life, we find many occasions where Solomon was wholly following God. He was completely loving God. He was given wisdom by God. But there came a point in Solomon's life where his heart began to wander. Isn't it sad? There are some people that can live a long life and then toward the end of their lives go away from God. I've known men that were faithful for years as men of God, and then toward the end of their life they would go away from the Lord. One of the saddest things I think has ever happened is to see something like that. That's what happened to Solomon. A man that loved God, a man whose life was committed to God and served God for so long, and then Solomon began to run after women. How many wives did he have? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That dear sister said, no wonder he went crazy. Well, he was crazy before he married all those women, okay? That's what led his heart was not right. His heart was not right. He was not continuing to love God with all of his heart. And when he began to go after all these other women, gradually he began not just his heart to be towards those other women, but he began to love the gods of those other women, and he began to serve the other gods instead of serving the one true and living God. And when that happened, when he stopped wholly following the Lord, God came to Solomon and said, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. You're losing the kingdom because you have stopped wholly following the Lord. Look in your Bibles at 1 Kings chapter 11. The Word of God says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Solomon disobeyed God by beginning to go into and loving women that God had said they could not love as the children of Israel. They were supposed to be a separate nation. I believe with all of my heart there are many children of God who have married people that did not love God with all of their heart, and it has led them away from God. Or it has led to their hearts being broken and experiencing years of hell on this earth because they married someone that did not love God with all of their heart. I beg you, teenagers, I beg you, don't date, don't go into, and don't be around, don't ever be around somebody that does not love God with all their heart. That's the only kind of person you ought to ever date or be around, is somebody that loves the Lord with all their heart. I want to say this. A person that does not love God with all of their heart a person that is not completely following the Lord, a person that is not passionate about his love for God, that person also is not going to be passionate about his love for the Word of God. When you find somebody that is not passionate about the Word of God, it's a clear indication they're also not passionate about the author of the book. They're not passionate about God. And a person that is not passionate about God and not passionate about the Word of God, that person will also not be completely passionate towards you. I believe it is impossible for a person to be fully what they ought to be towards their husband or wife or other people. I don't believe you can love the people like you ought to unless you first love God like you ought to. It's in loving God and loving the Word of God that you'll begin to identify the kind of people that you need to be around. Solomon, the Scripture says, Solomon began to love those strange women. And verse 3 says, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Can other people turn your heart away from God? You know, some are sitting there with their heads, no. Well, let me tell you, that's what Solomon thought. Solomon thought, oh, I'm a wise man. These people can't turn my heart away from God. People can. The people that you go around with, the people that you have fellowship with, the people that you're close to, they're going to have an effect on your heart. And the Scripture says here, the wives, his wives, turned away his heart. Verse 4 says, and it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon began to, his heart was affected. When he began to love strange women, he began to love strange gods. Solomon's life was destroyed, just like the children of Israel that we read about in Numbers chapter 32, that did not wholly follow the Lord. Solomon did not wholly follow the Lord. And Solomon's kingdom was taken away from him. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11 says, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Listen, brethren, the kingdom was taken away from Solomon. The land of Canaan was taken away from the children of Israel back there at Numbers 32. The land of Canaan was taken away from them, and they could not go into the land because they did not wholly follow the Lord. And in our day today, God has given us something very similar but greater than the land of Canaan. God has given us something very similar but greater than the kingdom that Solomon had. We have the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. We can experience intimate fellowship with God every day of our lives. We can enter into the kingdom of heaven and feel that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But in order to do that, we have to be like Caleb and Joshua. In order to do that, we cannot be fickle. We have to be faithful. We have to be faithful day in and day out. What is a hypocrite? What's a hypocrite? Hypocrite is somebody that claims to do one thing or believe something or live some way, but really the rest of the time they're living another way. In other words, if you come to the church on Sunday and that's your day of religion, but then on Monday through Saturday you're living differently, if around Christians you talk about God and the things of God, but then you go out there and around other people you talk about ungodly things, you're a hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite is. I'm a hypocrite if I'm just periodically serving God and the rest of the time I'm loving the world and the things that are in the world. I'm a hypocrite. God said in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4, God says, I'm going to destroy Israel. He says, your goodness is like a morning cloud and the dew of the morning, which quickly fades away. You hear those words there? He says, your goodness is like the morning cloud. You picture early in the morning, you get up, you might see a cloud or two. Sun begins to come out, just drives those clouds away. You picture the dew on the ground early in the morning, and after a little while, that dew is evaporated into the air by the sun. And God says in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4 that the goodness of the children of Israel was like the morning dew and the morning cloud, that it's there for a little while and it quickly goes away. You know what you will always substitute goodness with? When goodness leaves you, when you stop doing good, you know what you're going to start doing? You'll start doing evil. You'll start doing bad. And when you stop doing good, you're not wholly following the Lord. And when you're not wholly following the Lord, you're not going to be able to go into the land and you're not going to be able to enter the kingdom. But rather, you are going to perish. I've had people say to me, well, I know that I'm not enjoying the kingdom of heaven, but I'm sure enjoying my life. I'm telling you, you can think you're enjoying your life for a while, but any child of God, if you're a child of God and you're not wholly following the Lord, you will find yourself, just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, you will find yourself wandering and mourning and perishing in the wilderness. God will not allow His people whom He loves, whom He loved so much that He gave His only begotten Son for, God will not allow us to walk contrary to God's Word and God's way. God will not allow half-hearted service. He says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 that there are those that profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. That's a hypocrite. What do they say with their mouth? Oh, I love God. I love Jesus. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. There are young people who claim to be Christians who are having sexual relations outside of marriage, who are committing fornication regularly. That, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is an abomination in the sight of God. I talk to pastors in this community, and I talk to teenagers in this community who will tell you that they have many friends who are part of very religious groups, youth groups in various churches, and that most of the people in those youth groups, in those churches, are having sexual relations and are doing drugs and alcohol. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. That's a disgrace. And the church is failing to identify the fact that we must uphold a standard of righteousness in order to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Everybody that's absolutely perfect, would you please stand up? There's not a perfect person in this building. Does everybody understand that? I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. We're not absolutely perfect. We are sinners. The Bible says the very thoughts of foolishness is sin. The Bible says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. We all do sin. But brethren, if there is sin in your life that God is convicting you of, and you're continuing to carry out that sin, if you're continuing to do things that you know in your heart they're wrong in the sight of God, if you're sinning willfully after you come to a knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation that'll destroy our lives. You can read about that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 31. And the Bible there says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Willful sin is what Solomon did. Willful sinning is what the children of Israel did back there when they built that golden calf, and they murmured and complained against God, and God cut them off and they perished in the wilderness. What a wonderful joy it is, brethren, to see people that instead of being fickle are faithful. Think about if you had been someone watching Caleb and Joshua. Think about if you had been one of the young people. See, there were young people, those 20 years of age and under, that were watching Caleb and Joshua way back there when they first started to go into the land of Canaan. They heard Joshua and Caleb say, we can go in and possess the land. There were children that heard them say that 40 years later, they went into the land of Canaan with Caleb and Joshua. They saw two great men of God that did love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and men of God that wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, they completely followed the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Isn't that wonderful? To see people that do love God. I think the Apostle Paul was somebody that did love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Apostle Paul was a man that at his death in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Isn't that wonderful? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 because I want you to see the commitment and dedication and the consecration of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. I want you to see that when somebody really loves the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that they're going to have to give up. You will have to give up things of this world. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. God says if a man loves the world, he's an enemy of God. In Philippians chapter 3, listen, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, he records these words. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Brethren, I want us to understand that if we want to win Christ, if we want to know Christ, if we want to really walk with Him and know the power of Christ and feel the glory of Christ, then we have to be willing to count all things but dung that we might win Christ. The way the Apostle Paul says it in Romans chapter 12, and I'll close with these two verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Listen carefully to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God help us, brethren, to understand that if we're going to be fickle, that we're going to be destroyed. But if we will be faithful, God will help us to walk with Him and feel His fellowship and feel His peace and feel great joy in our soul every day. May God help us to be faithful to the Lord, is my prayer for Christ's sake.